So I'm going to talk today about infrastructure building for primary care research and safety net institutions. And I do want to introduce one of my colleagues, one of the many colleagues. When you're doing community participatory research, you often have a lot of authors on your work. And that's Dr. Ruth Hertzman-Miller, who's here today and is going to be joining me for the presentation.
Glad you're here.
So I don't have any disclosures, and nor does Ruth. So today, the learning objectives are self-evident. We're going to talk a little bit about the key elements for building infrastructure, describe the process that we used, and discuss some of the barriers. So I want to start out by saying that one of the biggest challenges within community participatory research and community engagement is working with primary care. And I think I spent much of my work with the Harvard Catalyst focused specifically on external providers to the community, to the delivery system. And now in the subsequent years, we've been pulled back into the delivery system as we are beginning to see primary care as a real place where you're going to really be doing translational research. And to that point, the Harvard Catalyst, which is the Harvard Clinical Translational Science Award, wanted to focus on the delivery system, particularly those providing services to vulnerable populations. And so we started our efforts working with our public hospital, which is a safety net provider, which I'm going to talk about today, and we've continued those efforts in our subsequent years and are now working with community health centers. And why bother? Well, clearly the primary care system is the backbone, and I'm a primary care provider, so I believe strongly in this. It's the backbone of our delivery system, and it's going to be really critical to get evidence-based practice into primary care. In addition, the safety net providers really require a robust research base, but for anybody who's worked in community health centers or public health settings, the challenges that beset these organizations from a financial perspective often make it really difficult to do research there and also to partner with researchers because of lack of various structures. So the setting I'm going to talk about today is the Cambridge Health Alliance, which is the last public hospital in Massachusetts. We serve 90,000 primary care patients, and we have a multiplicity of primary care sites, hospitals, emergency departments, with departments in three primary care specialties: medicine, family medicine, and pediatrics. Our academic affiliation is priority is with Harvard, and then we also are affiliated with Tufts, particularly for family medicine. We have residencies and medical students. The goals of this project were to develop the research skills in providers, the tools that they needed to provide mentorship and consultation to them, to then move forward launching projects, and to disseminate research and lessons learned, and most importantly, to promote sustainability so that after the work we were able to do with the setting, that this work would continue. We used a participatory research approach to the project from the get-go. We had a leadership team that was meeting that included our champions, of which Ruth is one, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later, as well as we had leadership from our IT department, which proved very effective. Both myself and the person who comes from IT sit on the Cambridge Health Alliance Academic Council, so we were able to influence that group as well. We developed a conceptual framework that looked at how we were doing this work. We spent a lot of time doing it. We probably need to revisit this and see if we actually did what we said we were going to do. But we talked about our leadership team, our assessment of current research capacity and priorities, and then the infrastructure development itself leading to additional research in the future. So the mission that we developed for our primary care infrastructure at Cambridge Health Alliance was the following: was to develop a learning healthcare system. This is very much in line with QI discussions, the PDSA cycle. I'm sure if anybody here is working those, you've heard these terminology over and over again. But that really involves the CBPR approach, the collaborative governance structure, and then really trying to figure out how are we going to increase research readiness among the providers within this system. We also have the addition of all these new platforms. We, at Cambridge Health Alliance, we have a fully implemented EMR structure in the ambulatory sites, soon to go into and actually now going into the inpatient sites as well. So we actually have access to a tremendous amount of data. And then how are we going to continue to disseminate the resulting model? So the methods that we used besides our CBPR approach was that we identified, actually we didn't identify them, we went to the chiefs of the three departments and we said, tell us, Give us a person within your department that you think can function as a champion. Based on work we've done in implementing any type of new practices across the system, you really need champions. You need people who are working in the sites who are going to be able to influence the work going on there. We did then a provider survey. We looked at interviews with our administrator. And then we began to do actually what we would consider our intervention. That is skill building, tool development, and the mentorship. And you'll hear more about that as we talk about our goals. So just to give you a flavor of our research results, we sent out a survey electronically to 123 providers. We mostly ended up getting responses from either the MDs or the DOs. I have to say, I don't think we did the best job of infiltrating our nurse practitioner PA departments and professionals, in part because our questions didn't really give them the response options that it turned out they needed, and that was something that we learned. Of the people that we did survey, first of all, we got a pretty good response rate. Anybody who tries to get surveys from physicians, you know how hard it is. You get about a 60% response rate. But interestingly enough, about 60% of those people actually said they were either interested in QI and research. And we actually combined quality improvement and research together. And that was based on a lot of discussions that we had with providers in the field. I'm quickly going through this. The survey was obviously had a lot more to it than this. But these were the major barriers to research that they identified. Number one was lack of protected time. And you're going to hear that over and over and over again if you choose to work with the delivery system and primary care. What we did through the project we had is we were actually able to provide a very small amount of time for these three champions. And I want to say maybe 2-3 hours a week. But that was enough to at least be able to get the ball rolling. And then the other two major ones were the lack of mentorship and the lack of research skills. So what did they need? They needed those three things. They needed mentoring, training, and protected time, and we provided all three of those. So I'm going to turn it over to Ruth.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about how we achieved the goals that we had set forth for ourselves. And again, I'm one of the three physician champions who had time to work on this project. So we started by looking at how we were going to develop people's research skills. We organized four workshops to do that, and there was a really broad spectrum of skills, everywhere from I basically have no training in how to do research to people like me with masters in public health. So we decided we were going to start with sort of a general overview of several topics, and you can see the topics here, and then try to delve a little bit more into specifics at each session about how we could apply those at our own institution. The other thing that we're doing is developing an online toolkit, number one, so that we can disseminate these tools and workshops within our system, but number two, in the hopes that other safety net hospitals that want to develop research programs will be able to use our tools as well. Our second goal was to make sure, as I said, that we had these tools to streamline our research process. So our team site, which you can see up there, was an experiment in how to use the web to communicate internally about our project. Not sure it was the best tool in the end. It's hard, as Karen said, to get docs to respond. I think actually email ended up sort of working best, but we're still in the process of figuring that piece out, how to communicate internally. We did create an index of all of the data reports that are available at our institution because there's a lot of data that's already available that people can draw from. And then we created the framework for the toolkit that we talked about to teach people more about research skills and building infrastructure. The other thing we did was to develop an external researcher checklist. So as a safety net institution, we have a particular population that not a lot of other hospitals have. So we often get external researchers who want access to our patients. And the question is, well, are we making the best use of our community? Are we making the best use of our own resources? Is this really forwarding our goals? And the checklist was an attempt to put some of those goals down in a concrete form so that we could then talk with external researchers about whether or not they were meeting our goals. And lastly, we created a tool for communicating about data requests. Our third goal was to make sure that we had mentorship. So we identified and paid one champion in each of the three primary care fields. I'm the internal medicine champion. Karen served as our mentor, but we also found other mentors and collaborators throughout the institution and throughout the two medical schools. Our fourth goal was to make sure that the projects got launched. Partly that's about administrative and human support. Partly that's about funding. As you can see, we did a lot of collaborating, and we did a lot of submitting grants to sort of local organizations like the Harvard Center for Primary Care, which was newly developed, and also to our malpractice carrier. Our fifth goal is to disseminate our lessons learned. Obviously, what we're doing today is a part of that. We also feel as a group like we need to do that within the medical school, and we need to do that locally within our institution. And one thing that will happen is that the mentors' work, I think, will feed forward, and our mentors, our physician champions, will now be able to mentor others. In terms of sustainability, we did several things. We have a data request process now in place so that we can grab data from the EMR and the labs. We have a steering committee that's going to continue forward to continue to advance the cause of primary care research. And then we presented our information to the Academic Council, trying to get a little bit of sort of sustained funding from the hospital itself.
So, again, we can talk more about all the specifics of this, but bottom line, a couple of things that we recommend as a result of our initial pilot phase of this work. So number one is we really think you need to tie the research endeavors that are coming towards you to the institutional priorities. And I think that's going to be more and more important, because what's going on in healthcare today, for anyone who's in the administrative side of the world, like I am as well, it is complete chaos right now. There is so much happening that when you think about research endeavors that are very specific, it's often that the organization doesn't even have the capacity to respond to those requests. So tying these things together, I think, makes a lot of sense. Ensuring, obviously, that the leadership is supportive. We did find that the needs assessment also serves as an engagement tool, so I would definitely recommend starting with that. And it also then shows leadership that there's a lot of interest in doing this. The rest of them, I think, are self-evident, but these are sort of important things that we think people need to be looking at. So where are we going from here? So one of the things that we heard all through this was how important it is for protected time. Another thing that I think everybody is well aware of is it's hard to keep primary care providers conducting primary care over time. And one of our sort of salient questions is, does getting involved in research actually help to keep people in primary care? What we're hearing from providers is the answer to that is yes, but we haven't seen it over the long haul to know if, in fact, it turns out to be true. We are now launching our second effort, and we're about halfway through that, where we're taking the lessons that we've learned and the tools that we've developed, and we've moved them from the public hospital system to community health centers. We're now working with three FQHC community health centers in the Boston area to basically adapt this to working with that group. And it seems to be very similar in terms of the evidence that we're collecting and in terms of what they're thinking. I would tell you just in sort of a final moment is that one of the biggest challenges that we find that in working with these sites is that people within them want to become researchers themselves. And so challenge to figure out how they can actually effectively partner with external folks, because clearly they don't always have the capacity or the knowledge or the skills in a way that meets the needs of that community health center and also meets the needs of the individual provider. So thank you.